Staten versus Nissan North America. Mr. Chagan.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. First, I would like to apologize to the court for the delay. I was held up at the airport. Your Honor, this is an appeal from a grant of summary judgment in favor of Nissan North America, the defendant, in a products liability, failure to warn, and negligence case. The facts of the case are very simple. A family from East St. Louis, Illinois, a family of three ladies, was coming from South Dakota, and on the way at Warrenton, Missouri, their car rolled over the highway, landed in the median, upside down, tumbled over several times, and all of them sustained injuries. One of them, Mary Staten, the appellant in this case, very serious injuries. Plaintiffs brought a case in the Southern District of Illinois under the theory of strict products liability and the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, failure to warn, as well as under negligence theories. The district court entered summary judgment upon, first, we also brought the case against the tire manufacturer, Firestone, and Firestone and plaintiffs settled. The remaining defendant, Nissan North America, moved for summary judgment and produced an expert report stating that there was no defect in the tire as it was alleged in the complaint, and therefore they were entitled to some summary judgment as a matter of law. Plaintiffs at that point moved for additional discovery because the defendant, the movement, disclosed the expert about a week, 10 days before they filed the motion for summary judgment, and there wasn't enough time to review the motion and the expert report file an opposition, prepare an opposition. We tried to depose the expert, but because there was another counterclaim from Nissan against one of the plaintiffs for negligent driving or something, the counsel that the insurance company for Ms. Gloria Staten could not schedule the deposition timely, and therefore Nissan said, "Your time's up, and therefore we are entitled to judgment as a matter of law," all within a 6-week period. We tried several times to get the deposition going.
It looks like this case sat a long time without you producing an expert witness. Is that an incorrect impression here?
Your Honor, first thing was there was negotiations going on with the defendants on settling the case, and we thought at that point neither party disclosed any expert until the last week of January.
Ordinarily in these cases, it's the plaintiff comes forward with an expert, and then the defense knows what your position is, and then they go out and get an expert to offer, a contrary opinion. And it looks like a lot of time passed here without anything really being done on that score by the plaintiffs.
Yes, Your Honor. Your Honor is correct. But there is one subtle issue that I was looking at, because this was a brand-new car. It was within 1 year of purchase of the car. It had less than 13,000 miles on it, and it was a clear day, Memorial Day weekend, to be correct, and it was sunny afternoon, and the car tire suddenly fails.
Well, but it was their expert said there was a puncture, and you know that can happen to a tire that's an hour old, right? That doesn't mean there's a defect in it.
That itself may not be the cause for the entirety of the complaint. What my theory under the complaint, Your Honor, is that even if there is a defective tire, I will get to the puncture in the hole in a minute, but even if there is no defect in the tire, a car regular that is used by millions of people regularly should not result in such grievous injuries to anybody. just because there is a puncture in a tire, it should not be. Therefore, she was wearing a seatbelt. There was nothing that the parties in the car could have done.
It involves how the driver reacts to a puncture and how.
In the evidence, Your Honor.
Not necessarily a fault, but sometimes you puncture and the hands fly off the wheel and you lose control of the car. It goes in a ditch and rolls over. And this was a serious accident, there's no question about it. But it seems like there was a lot of time to develop a theory against Nissan, independent of the theory regarding the Firestone. But nothing really was done. Dragged along.
Actually, Your Honor, the basic reason was that until September of the year before, meaning until 2003, September-October time period, Firestone has taken possession of the tire, and they sent it to their offices somewhere in Ohio to have it checked for whatever, reverse engineer and find out if there was any defect in it. And we were not able to even get it close to an expert. After we got the tire in September or October, we actually presented it to an expert, the foremost expert on all the Ford Firestone cases, Mr. Baumgartner. And we were awaiting his results, and suddenly the motion for summary judgment. And at some point during that time period, we stayed part of this activity because there was intense negotiations going on for settlement, and we thought that the experts would be an unnecessary expense if the case were to settle without the need for an expert witness. So the defendants had possession of the accident happened in May of 2002, and then they immediately took control of the tire, and they gave it back to us nearly a year and 4 months later. We didn't have the time to present it to the expert and get an opinion and try to present our expert's opinion. The time deadlines have come and gone, and we were trying to get the deadlines extended from the district court. The another issue, Your Honor, is a related issue, is that whether there is a need for an expert in this case to begin with, to understand whether there is a defect in a car that is a new car that is traveling on a highway with nothing, regularly serviced by the owners of the car, whether there was even a need for an expert. The reason for that is that leads us into the another issue that we present to the court for review is which state's law applies to this case. If it is Missouri law where the accident happened, and under the conflict of the laws rules, Missouri law should apply in this case because that state has a substantial connection with the accident and nobody else has any other connection with Illinois. Under Missouri law, the test for unreasonably dangerous is a matter for the jury. It is a matter to be submitted to the jury. What the defendant says is, I have an expert. There is obviously an expert for every sort of thing in the world, including what anybody could be thinking or could not be thinking at any given time. This the fact that one party says, I have an expert and you don't have an expert, should not be the determinative factor in deciding whether the problem that is presented is within the range of understanding of an average juror. And the district court did not even touch that issue and simply ignored it and said in the order that they moved for summary judgment, they addressed one aspect of the complaint, even though you are talking about crashworthiness. Even though they did not move for summary judgment on that issue, they are entitled to judgment as a matter of law. And we submit to the court that that is an error of law because it gets into what should a plaintiff write in a complaint under Rule 8. If the defendant ignores, say, a significant portion of the complaint and addresses a narrow question and says, I have an expert for this narrow question and therefore I am entitled to judgment as a matter of law, that in itself should not be that basically deviates, makes shifts the burden to the plaintiff in filing the pleading with so many particulars in it, and still we are not sure whether the defendant is going to ignore the critical part of the complaint. Because the defendants in this case, defendant Nissan in this case, did not address anything about the crashworthiness of the car, they cannot be entitled to judgment as a matter of law by any rule. I present two theories. One is the defective tire, and the other is the defective car. Even if we assume for the sake of argument that they negated the theory about the tire, it was an error to grant summary judgment. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gannon. And Mr. Phoenix.
There are two issues for the court to decide. Number one, whether the trial court abused its discretion in refusing to reopen discovery and give plaintiff a second extension of time to disclose an expert. The second issue is whether the trial court was correct in granting summary judgment. The first question, whether the trial court abused its discretion, the answer to that is clearly no. Not only did it not abuse its discretion, but it decided it correctly. This is not a novel issue for this court to decide whether or not a trial court abused its discretion in refusing to reopen discovery pending a motion for summary judgment. There are dozens of cases, that may be an exaggeration, there are more than a handful of cases out of this circuit talking about that, to include one as early as 1985, where Judge Bauer participated in the decision in United States versus Bob Stauffer Automobile. The issues that the court looks at in determining whether or not the trial court abused its discretion is, number one, was the plaintiff diligent during the pendency of the lawsuit? Number two, did the affidavit the plaintiff provide excuse his lack of diligence? And number three, if the court did open discovery, did the plaintiff show the court that there's a reason that it should be reopened and show the court that it's likely that they could defeat the motion for summary judgment? The answer to all those questions were that wasn't done here by plaintiff's counsel. If you look at the timeline, as Judge Evans, you talked about, there was probably a 20-month period in which this case was pending before the motion for summary judgment. The first complaint, if you look at whether plaintiff was diligent in pursuing their cause of action, was filed in August of 2002, about 6 or 8 weeks after the accident, 10 weeks after the accident, the lawsuit was filed. The speed of that filing of the lawsuit, however, stopped at that point in time. Nobody was served. None of the defendants were served by the plaintiff's counsel. 2 or 3 months went by. He filed an amended complaint. No one was served for 2 to 3 months again. Nissan finally voluntarily entered its appearance and waived service and filed an answer. The court in January issued a scheduling order and indicated that the plaintiff, as part of that order, would disclose its experts by June of 2003. In May of 2003, 1 month before plaintiff was ordered to disclose their experts, they filed a motion to extend the time and to file an amended complaint, adding another Nissan entity. The court granted the plaintiff an extension of time, reopened discovery, set new discovery deadlines, and gave the plaintiff more time to disclose an expert. Incidentally, the basis of that motion to amend was to add a new defendant, Nissan Motor Company Limited in Japan. Plaintiff's counsel never served him. What plaintiff's counsel also didn't do was he never disclosed an expert. The discovery cutoff at that point in time was January 30th of 2004. Plaintiff's counsel informally agreed that once they got the tire, and incidentally, Nissan had never had possession of the tire at any time during the litigation. Firestone did. The expert affidavit we filed was Firestone's expert that we endorsed and disclosed. The tire was delivered to plaintiff's counsel. 30 days elapsed. Plaintiff's counsel did not disclose the expert as he informally had agreed to do. The court, when plaintiff's counsel originally asked for an extension of time, said, parties get together and work out your own deal on expert disclosure. But the discovery will cut off in January of 2004. In August of 2003, Firestone circulated a proposal about expert disclosure. No response from plaintiff. In September, Firestone wrote plaintiff's counsel a letter saying, what about our proposal disclosing experts? Plaintiff's counsel didn't respond. September 29th, Firestone circulated a stipulation about expert disclosure, a proposed stipulation. Plaintiff didn't respond. In October, on three different occasions, Firestone wrote plaintiff's counsel and said, what about the expert? Plaintiff didn't respond. Firestone submitted a proposed order. Plaintiff disagreed. Eventually, in November of 2003, when we couldn't reach an agreement with plaintiff's counsel about when they would disclose their expert, Firestone and Nissan filed a motion regarding expert deadlines. There was no response by plaintiff's counsel. The court granted the motion and ordered plaintiff to disclose his expert now by November 14th. That day came and went, and there was no disclosure by plaintiff's counsel. The expert, or the discovery cutoff, was in January, the 30th of 2004. Trial was scheduled in May of 2004. Plaintiff's counsel at no time during the 20 months of the litigation took a single deposition, never noticed an expert's deposition, never sent a 30B6 notice, and other than an initial set of very routine discovery, never followed up on any written discovery. Nissan disclosed its expert, Joe Grant, in January of 2004, and then in February filed its motion for summary judgment. The plaintiff's failure to prosecute the litigation continued on in face of the motion for summary judgment. The motion was filed on February the 2nd, 2004. Plaintiff was required to respond by March the 3rd, 2004. No response to the motion for summary judgment. 2 weeks before the motion was scheduled to be ordered, the plaintiff files a Rule 56F motion asking for extensions of discovery, remembering that he already had one or more extensions on the discovery. That motion was argued before the court and denied. The motion for summary judgment was then heard and granted. There's no question that the court didn't abuse its discretion, but frankly was accurate and right in saying we're not going to continue the discovery. I heard today that there were settlement discussions. I cannot comment on that. I know that Firestone and the plaintiff settled, but it seems to me that the plaintiff is saying I had an expert or I didn't have time to get an expert. I never had the tire, but there was never a motion filed asking
for... What was Nissan's expert going to say? You said Nissan identified an expert. This dispute really seems like it's between the plaintiff and the automobile and Firestone.
Well, we thought so, Judge Evans, and that's why we were riding Firestone's coattails.
Sure.
When Firestone told us they were going to settle, we said, can we use your expert? And they said yes, and we got an affidavit. Mr. Shikanti, in the motion for summary judgment, so let me move to the second point.
Well, tell me what your expert was going to talk about.
How
Nissan happened to put Firestone tires on the Sentra?
We weren't going to have an expert, Judge.
I thought you said you disclosed one.
We disclosed Joe Grant,
Firestone's expert
that we endorsed as our expert.
So it wasn't an expert that was going to testify how or what thought processes or whatever Nissan went through in putting Firestone tires. I mean,
that has to be
the theory of liability against Nissan. Is that
well, if you look
negligent
at
in putting Firestone tires on the car?
Well, no, sir. I think that the complaint talked about the tire itself was defective, not that Nissan made a poor choice. It was the tire itself was defective. But if, in fact, that they had said we chose the wrong tire, we spec'd the wrong tire, that would have come through their expert testimony. And if they had an expert for that, then Nissan would have, by choice, gone out and retained an expert. The question on the motion for summary judgment, was that granted appropriately? And the answer to that question is yes. Mr. Shikanti talks about that the complaint talked about crashworthiness of the vehicle. 2 points with that. Crashworthiness is mentioned one time in the complaint. All of the allegations center around tire. But it doesn't make any difference whether it was crashworthy, roadworthy, or the tire. The motion for summary judgment was appropriately granted. The question of whether you need an expert, the plaintiff needs an expert. In a case like this, obviously he needs an expert. There are situations in product liability where I will grant you both in Missouri and Illinois, and it makes no difference, that the plaintiff could prove a case without an expert. But those situations are rare. And then with the technology today of tires, tread separations, different manufacturing techniques, crashworthiness, seat belts, there's no question that you need an expert. But the point that the court made in the trial division was that at no time did the plaintiff even respond to the motion for summary judgment. I think we could have filed a motion for summary judgment and pointed out that he had no evidence. We wouldn't have even needed to use Joe Grant's affidavit, and I think the court would have been well-founded in granting the motion for summary judgment because the plaintiff did not come forward. But we went further than that with the affidavit and showed that these things can occur from a number of situations without a defect, without anything wrong with the tire or the vehicle. There was no opposition to the motion for summary judgment, and the law is clear that the plaintiff cannot rely on his pleadings, and he must come forward with something more than a scintilla of evidence. And that was not done in this case. And so the court granted the motion for summary judgment was appropriate in doing so. That's all I have, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Phoenix. Mr. Shagani.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, counsel for the defendant Nissan has given an elaborate review of how many times they have given me chances to disclose experts. But during that entire period, counsel did not mention that they wanted me to disclose my expert while keeping the tire in their possession. And my question to them throughout that period that Firestone wanted to put a deadline on expert disclosures was, first give me the tire, and then we will talk about setting a deadline for these things. If you have tires somewhere in Ohio or in California, and then I have to agree within 1 month I will disclose an expert without ever having a chance to look at the tire, it was not going to be possible.
Does the record have any letters in it from you or any documentation that you insisted on the tire being sent to you before you would take steps to get an expert?
I'm not sure, Your Honor, because that communication was mostly by email and telephone with with Firestone, who had...
Was any motion filed or any affidavit filed in connection with your motion for continuance on the discovery as to why you needed more discovery? That you didn't have the tire, they didn't give it to you. Did you do that?
I believe I put that into the...
That's in the pleadings?
In the Rule 56F affidavit, Your Honor.
There's a pleading saying that you had asked for the tire and they hadn't given it to you.
There is a paper that Rule 56F affidavit must disclose that the tire was in their possession until about the end of September.
Yeah, I understand that. They say, did you say, I want the tire, I can't comply with the... I can't respond to the motion for summary judgment because they don't have the tire.
I think it was there, Your Honor.
Did you say it?
I have to.
You file the appeal. You ought to know what's in the document you file up here, and I want to know if I look, will I find one?
I believe it is there, Your Honor, because the affidavit that was supporting the Rule 56F...
Well, the 56F is after the house is burned down.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about something happened before that where you said, I need the tire, and give me the tire. Something in writing, something in the record to support some sort of a finding that you were actively trying to get this tire so that you could get an expert, and either they were resisting you in some way.
They were actually not resisting. They were just not giving it. they say they would give it, but they wouldn't give it.
Were you requesting it? That's what we're asking. Is there anything in there that we can look and find some document where you sent a letter saying, I need this tire, give me the tire?
It must be as an attachment to the Rule 56F motion, Your Honor.
An attachment.
An attachment. There are a lot of emails that I attached to the Rule 56F affidavit and the motion showing a number of electronic communications between us saying, please give me the tire and then we will set a deadline for these matters and all such things. I actually recruited Mr. Baumgartner a long time before, except that he was waiting for the tire and we never got the tire. One more issue I would like to address that the counsel for opposition has mentioned is he went in detail about how the lawsuit was filed in August 2002 and nobody was served and this and that. First off, As soon as the lawsuit was filed, the district court looked at the complaint and examined it and declared that there was no subject matter jurisdiction and dismissed it with leave to amend, and therefore I filed an amended pleading adding the federal cause of action in order to bring it into the federal court. That took about 2 months. And then I used the waiver of service instead of regular using a process server, a waiver of service to serve Nissan and the other defendant. And they took their sweet little time, 60 days that the law gives them, and then they entered their appearance towards the end of that year, 2002. That is how several months happened. And then they several times, the defendants themselves asked for numerous extensions. And if we look at the communication between myself and Mr. Reed Sugg, who is the Nissan's attorney in the trial court, about whether and how and when we will set up the deposition of Mr. Grant, he gave a date on He gave a date that was so far off into February of 2004, and come that date, the other attorney, Dale Wepner, says, I'm going to Europe on a vacation. I can't be in North Carolina. And I was there in Richmond, Virginia, trying to drive from there to North Carolina, and they stopped it. And a week later, Mr. Reed Sugg says, end of story, your time's up. You can't do anything. And I said, May I quickly use one last thing, Your Honor? My intention was to show that Mr. Grant did not have the sufficient knowledge and thereby defeat his motion for summary judgment by showing that he was unable, he did not consider superior technologies that Firestone has patented, such as the run flat tire, which says even if there is a puncture in the tire can continue to run for about 100 miles without any untoward incident, and it would warn the driver so that the driver can take it to a gas station and change the tire. I was going to ask Mr. Grant that question, and that would have defeated the summary judgment motion based on his affidavit. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed.